Dr. McKay speaking, Miss Cooper singing.
Other than the house of God, let us come boldly to a throne of grace that we may find grace to help. Let us thus join in silent prayer. Music is a featured part of our worship this morning, and I have two special helpers in music. First, I'm happy to present a soloist some of you will remember from her previous appearance here, Mrs. William Cooper, a soprano soloist in the First Baptist Church of Winston-Salem, formerly with the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a person whose voice and spirit help her to interpret truth as it comes to us in beautiful fashion in music. My second musical specialists, I expect I ought to mention my good organist back here, because he's always special and helpful. But the second group I'm thinking about consists of the people in the congregation. When you do your best, it's very, very good indeed. I want our soloists to hear you sing, and I want you to honor the Lord in the way you sing. And so we join now to sing this opening hymn. Seems to me that Isaiah has written particularly for every Christian minister and for every Christian singer, so far as that goes, in that very beautiful 52nd chapter. I read for you now the first seven verses. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bonds of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I hear, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that do rule over them do howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, here am I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. God is at the organ. I can hear a mighty music echoing far and near. God is at the organ, and the keys are storm-strewn billows, moorlands, trees. God is at the organ. I can hear a mighty music echoing far and near. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the glad message of victory thou hast brought to the sons of men. And as Jesus Christ identified himself completely with humanity in order that he might take upon himself all the weaknesses, all the blame that attach to humankind. So we pray that we shall abandon ourselves to Thee with such completeness, in love, in faith, that Thou canst indeed do for us exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think. We would put ourselves into Thy keeping. We would unite in all faith and gladness to bring before Thee our fellow students, our faculty, the whole seminary family. And then with the outreach of faith, we would include the many loved ones who come to mind even at this moment as we lift them up before Thee. However separated we may be in space, we pray that we may be united in love and time, so that Thy visitation to them shall be the blessing that they need the most. And not for these only, but for all the people of all the world. The greatest blessing that can come to any individual or any nation, the greatest need of us all, is through a fresh touch with Thee, that Thou dost have Thy way with us. We thank Thee for the privilege of prayer. Let Thy blessing now, as it is granted from Thy throne of grace, be well timed to the need of each individual, that the anxious may be made serene, that lonely may feel the companionship of Thy Spirit, that those who seek to serve may feel the strength of Thine everlasting arms, that those for whom we pray and the causes which are our deep concern shall this day be left with Thee and prospered by Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children gathered from the west.
the tallest men in the Old Testament and the New are Isaiah and Paul, in my judgment. Isaiah, with the insight of a prophet and the golden voice of a musician, declared that life's highest privilege is proclaiming good news to men everywhere who need it. The Apostle Paul, with characteristic insight, picks up one of the elements of the great good news of the gospel when he declares, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This triumphant shout broke the stillness of the Roman prison in which the apostle had been chained to a Roman soldier for a considerable period. There was nothing in Paul's situation that was the foundation for the note of triumph in his proclamation. He was an old man, inadequately clothed, poorly fed, maybe with no bed except the damp stone prison floor. There was nothing in his past that would cause a man to shout triumphantly. He had been in shipwreck. He had been beaten with many stripes. He had been arrested and imprisoned. He had been persecuted and disowned as a preacher of the gospel. The past had been difficult. The present was at least uncomfortable and filled with peril, and the future had many elements of blackness in it. For now, the Apostle Paul was the arch champion of an illegal religion. You remember, he had become the spokesman for Christianity. And now, with the Romans, Christianity had been declared illegal. At first, as you very well recall, the Roman government had been rather indifferent because they felt that Christianity was a part of the Jewish religion which had been legalized. And when a religion was declared legal, its followers were allowed to carry it forward without interference from the government. But the Jews had been quick to explain and insist that Christianity is not a part of Judaism. It's a new religion. And they had soon insinuated that its followers were disloyal to Roman authority, that it was dangerous politically as well as religiously. And therefore, this man who was the acknowledged leader of the group was now in prison, and it was altogether likely that death would be his way of release. Now, all this simply says that the certainty which he expressed did not grow out of his circumstances. And if the certainty is true, it seems to me that it speaks to the needs of our hearts especially. We live in much better times, but we live in uncertain times. We live in troubled and sorrowful times. We live in sinful times, and we ourselves are weak men. I think we'd be willing to talk with Isaiah again. Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people who are no better than I. And that's a bad thing to say about them. But you see, this is something that we ourselves need especially. Look at it a moment. Paul said, I know him whom I have believed. and I'm satisfied. My life security and satisfaction grows out of my knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, this knowledge is always a knowledge of experience. It's not gained by much learning, though he had considerable learning. It is not necessarily the product of scholarship. You can get up and preach a good many times because it's 11 o'clock Sunday morning, not because you know what you're talking about, through a personal experience that made an event out of the word you speak. Paul said, I know him. I do not know any other word as good as that. I rejoice in my own friends, as I'm sure you do, so that I'd be glad to say that one of the reasons I enjoy being in Southeastern Seminary, I know the new president, Dr. Olin T. Binkley. Now, I'm saying a good deal, and I can say it about professors before me. I can say it about individual students. I know you. And that is good, because the quality of character is an uplift to those who know you. It means much more for us to know God. Sometimes I am amazed that the psalmist seems to have had a much more ever-present certainty about God and his character than we. Listen, the Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, that is to say that I can't stand facing trouble all the time. This idea of escape is necessary at times. I need a refuge. In turbulent times, when my head begins to swim, I can look to Jesus and find there's something real and solid. I need that. And he knew God in that sort of way. But that's not enough. In fact, that's not the main thing. Most of the time, you have to stand up and do battle. And your strength is inadequate. It's always inadequate. You're not strong enough to carry your burdens, nor wise enough to solve your problems, nor good enough to master your temptations. What do you need? The Lord is my strength. Now, that's a word, but as one of our students said this morning, until it becomes a word event, that is, until the reality of it is your personal experience, it's not much worth to the world. And it was like that all the way through the Psalms. The Lord, my shepherd. The Lord is my strength. Here's one I hope you'll keep forever. The Lord is my strength and my song. The same strength. But he also sets life to music so I can march. The Lord is my strength and my song and is become my salvation. What a tremendous word it is. I know him. How'd you get to do it? I did it by a great act of courageous daring. I know him. First, I believed. I thought the evidences are good. But mainly, I made commitment. And if you are agreeing with the other translation that he made commitment to you, in either case, the commitments have been kept so safely and so secure that I have great satisfaction and great assurance. That word was brought through the help that Jesus Christ brought to our world as Lord and Savior. And as we store up a new appreciation of him after we've made that complete self-commitment, more and more He gets to be the one whom we know, whom we love, in whom we live and move and have our being. That's said better in music too. Will you listen? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, and the companionship and comfort and conviction of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and evermore. Amen.